Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello, people of Donegal, we have done it!
Oh, it's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Jenny's one of my team. Jenny's one of you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray,
thank you.
Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you, nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chester.
Yeah, welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast, the Sunday edition. So Donegal absolutely hammered by Armagh in St. Chernock's Park in Clonus. It turned into a massacre in the end. Of course, this is the last inter-county podcast involving Donegal for 2022. Later on in the show, we will hear from Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen. Before that, Kyle Coney. But first, it's our match commentary team of Manus Boyle, Mark McHugh and myself, and we'll quickly look back at the action.
Brendan Pauly, our match referee, throws the ball in, and straight away it's the Orchard County on the attack. There's a goal chance here. Oh my, Rory Grogan collects a long pass, and after, I make that 5 seconds, Mark McHugh, route one, Rory Grogan, top corner, Sean Patton, no chance.
But what a goal, Paddy. You have to give credit to Armagh. That was some goal. You know, oh gee, what, Paddy?
Oh, it's for a kick out, mix up with the goal defence. Armagh bearing down on goal. Surely they're going to get it. Oh, somehow it's blocked on the line and goes out for a 45. Is it Keelan Ward who's the saviour?
Yeah.
Oh, that is one of the greatest goal chances you'll ever see. And how did Armagh butcher that? And McCall getting gobbled up. There's another goal chance here for Armagh. And Aidan Nugent, he is taken down in the box. It's going to be a penalty, is it, to Armagh? But an array, a spate of bad kickouts in quick succession.
He's given Sean Patton a black card here. So it's a penalty kick. That's the decision. Donegal now will have to get another goalkeeper on the field and take off an outside player.
McBurkey coming down screaming. Is it a Declan Border or is he screaming at Michael Lynch?
I would say screaming at Michael Lynch to get on. But like, Donegal can, you know, only themselves to blame. Two silly kickouts. Ben McCall caught there, Paddy. Had the ball in his hand. Should not have given away the ball. And I think it was before there was Owen McFadden Ferry. Now, listen, it is a penalty, and if this is saved or it doesn't go on the net, it'll be a shock to me. Not a shock, but a wild let off to Donegal, because that's two chances Armagh, you could say, have butchered. Now, Donegal are down to the 14 men, and listen, they brought this on themselves. They were cruising in a match.
Rian O'Neill from Cross McGlen, facing Dylan McGonigal from Dunfrana, and it's South Armagh who comes out on top. The orange and white flags go up everywhere. There's a million things happening here. Donegal, Armagh now lead by 3 after Donegal leading by 4. So who's going to make way?
Paddy McBurdy's coming off.
McBurdy's not going to be happy, I don't think, about
no.
this.
No, Paddy's coming off here, and you know, they need to get somebody on just for the 10 minutes, I suppose. Paddock's not happy now. But listen, I feel they could have took off a few other people, because I think Keelan Ward's struggling on Stephen Campbell.
Rian O'Neill playing much deeper this afternoon, carrying it into the Donegal rear guard. Thought he threw the ball, lays the ball off Armagh, and just palm this one over. They can completely kill it off of the goal now. Rounding Sean Patton, balls to the back of the net, and Armagh are going to be going into the draw. Tomorrow morning, it's Stephen Sheridan who applies the finish. Lovely work from Rian O'Neill. 4 or 5 Armagh players involved, and well, Donegal are going to be crashing out. It has been so disappointing, and there's a huge Armagh contingent on the far side. I can already see the odd Donegal supporter making their way to the exit door. He just takes around Sean Patton.
Keelan Ward after being just pulled to his side here. Conor O'Donnell being brought on. But yeah, that's, as they say, game, set, match. You know, Armagh's now not even pressing the kick out. They're just dropping off. They say, come on, this, we're winning here by 10 points. 10 points with about, you know, 12 minutes to go. You're not going to lose it from that position for a team. And I know Manus says, you know, about them getting edgy because they haven't beat Donegal, but that goal just really puts a nail in the coffin there now.
It is a hammering here, and Donegal, that is the full time whistle. Donegal are out. Armagh have cruised in to the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Football Championship. Armagh 3-17, Donegal 16 points. Mark McHugh, so disappointing, and there's nothing to sugarcoat. It's been a disappointing year. It's been a disappointing few years.
Yeah, it has, Paddy, and there's no point saying anything. You know, we've left, I suppose, Ulster titles behind us that we felt like we were going to win. And I don't know, you know, today obviously is so disappointed, but the manner of the defeat today, you know, 10-point defeat to Armagh, who we beat a few weeks ago. I know it's hard coming back after an Ulster final, and we probably look back a few weeks ago at that, and we weren't brave enough to go for it that day. The talk, obviously, of maybe having fear, you know, that day, it probably everybody's, you know, has been speaking about that in the county's last number of weeks, and that's just the manner, I suppose, that we went out this year. It's just two very poor and dull, and, you know, dull performances, and you have to, you know, you take your hat off to Armagh these days like this, and you know, some of them players will come back again, and they'll go to the well again, and they'll give us great days, and but yeah, so disappointed as a Donegal man that we haven't got more of this year, and I suppose more of last maybe a number of years, and yeah, truly and utterly disappointed, buddy, you know.
People will be asking, look, Tyrone Super 8's 2018, Mayo Super 8's Cavan 2020, Tyrone 2021 and Derry 2022, we just haven't pushed on and got to that. Like, we haven't been a semi-final since 2014.
And no, it's like you know, and listen, it hasn't only just been Declan Bonner that hasn't got us there. You know, Rory Garrett,
yeah,
Rory was involved.
See what Rory done with Derry.
You know, Rory has been involved for a few years before that. But yeah, as a Donegal player, you know, I played a lot of them years, and you know, knowing the players, and bitterly disappointed we haven't been able to get over that line of getting to at least an Ireland semi-final. Because when you're there, anything can happen. And that has been disappointed. We probably left Ulster behind us that we probably definitely should have won. You know, along with the ones we won. And yeah, we haven't, you know, with the players maybe we have, we just haven't improved the style of play. You know, people question the style of play. It looked, for all the world, that Michael Murphy was going to blow the you know, the lights of thunder in full forward earlier on. And you know, we go back, because maybe, why did we not keep him, you know, against Derry when Brendan Rodgers was such a threat? And it just looked like me, like Michael was maybe carrying in a wee injury that day. But listen, they're all great questions in hindsight, I suppose. And yeah, it's a day for post-mortem, and it's a day for looking at different things, and there'll be questions asked of the management team, and you know, has Declan Bonner probably, have, you know, is time done? You know, I think he'll probably answer that question himself, and you know, whatever he feels like, he's a good Donegal man, Declan Bonner, and he'd be very disappointed today as well. And you know, if he thinks himself that there's somebody out there that may be better to take the job and take it on, take these lads on further, then maybe he will step away. And if he doesn't, you know, he still has a year left in his contract, so I think he'll make the right decision, whatever that'll be for him and probably his management team. But it just, maybe it looks like to me it needs a better, you know, regeneration. It needs a bit of, you know, maybe a new voice there, and something, you know, to regenerate the younger lads and maybe the older lads. And again, I don't ever like speaking about just right after a result, because we're emotional and we're kind of, you know, we're disappointed. But them questions will be answered in the coming weeks. And
will he stay, in your opinion?
I think he'll bow out. I think he will. I think he's been there long enough, I think. And he'll be so disappointed himself. It's not that, you know, it'll be from anybody else or from media. It'll not be from other people within Donegal. He'll make his own choice, and he'll know the best maybe for them players. And you know, he'll think, you know, maybe these boys do need a new voice in the dressing room and a new face to, if they're going to, because it's gone a wee bit stale. You know, there's no point saying it. And that's my honest view on it. And
I think you
know, he's been an unbelievable servant for Donegal, Declan Bonner.
Yeah.
You know, a player, manager twice. He's brought us Ulster titles in the last number of years, you know, that we hadn't won when Rory came in after Jim, and he brought a bit of life again about it. But again, as a whole, we haven't reached them highs that I suppose the support, the players, the management team, ourselves, that kind of expect within Donegal. And you know, I don't need to tell them that. I don't need to tell the players that. I don't need to tell the people of Donegal that. They'll know that themselves. And yeah, it's again, it's very, very disappointing today. And it's not for making any rash calls, or you know, I don't know when they'll meet up and again. But let them go away now for the next few weeks, and we'll see them all, I suppose, on the field for Donegal Club Championship. But bitterly disappointed, Paddy, the way to finish today. And you know, on another sour note, and this is just my own personal, I have a wee cousin, Daniel McCloskey, who he was actually supposed to play for the Donegal Academy yesterday, and against Armagh, and he was involved in a very freak accident on Friday night in Killybegs, where a ton roller fell on top of his foot and kind of crushed his foot, and he was airlifted to Galway, and he's been in surgery and he's recovering down there since. And you know, Daniel, I don't know, will you be listening, will you hear this, but you know, where I'm thinking about you and your family are thinking about you, and I know Ryan's out there and he's thinking about you, and you know, just keep fighting, and we'll you know, whatever's to be will to be. You know, he's a real talented wee footballer, and you know, he's a great Kilcar man, and you know, it's just kind of, you know, it was, it couldn't happen, a nice wee fella. He was down working, and he's an unbelievable worker, and you know, he's a long road ahead of him, and he knows that himself, and he'll fight, and he'll if he ever get back in a football field, it'll be great. But if he doesn't, it's not the end of the world. You know, he's probably 2 seconds earlier and might have hit his head, and you know, you never know what could happen then. So listen, as you know, we just wanted to let him know that we're thinking about him, and you know, just keep at it, and we'll hopefully see him soon.
And I think it's quite poignant and apt as well, because we'll all go home depressed tonight and post-mortems, but there's a bigger picture out there. There's life and death, and there's healing, and there's injuries, and we wish Daniel McCloskey, have I got the name right there?
Yeah,
you said a proud Kilcar man. We all at Ocean FM Sport wish you a very speedy recovery. Hopefully you'll be back out on the pitch and back following whoever it is you follow, Manus, on the match itself. Just going back to the game, and you both said it, lads, and we said it at the end of the commentary, it was that word, momentum. It's virtually impossible. It's coming to the stage where it's impossible to recover from an Ulster final defeat. We didn't in 13, and I mean, we were all Ireland champions. Didn't in 15, 16, and couldn't recover now as well. The four provincial champions have lost, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I say, you build yourself up for these big games, and Ulster final day is a massive, massive day for any of us that were fortunate, lucky enough to play on those days. And when you lose it, you know, when you get beaten, and I never had the option of the backdoor system in my time, just giving away my age there, Paddy, but
39, aren't you?
It certainly took a long, long time to recover from the defeat. And you would go back and play club football, you know, in the weeks after that, but you wouldn't be the same. It takes you a long, long time, because you just build yourself up so much for that day. And it's just very hard to do that. And like I said before the commentary of the game, you know, all the right words can be said, all the right things can be done in the 2 weeks before the game, but it's just that there's something in our psychological mindset that it's very hard to reset the button and come back out flying. And for a while Donegal showed a bit of that today, to be fair. They reacted well to the goal, but they just couldn't sustain it. You know, maybe it's too much in the legs over the last couple of years. A lot of players, a lot of mileage up. Mark mentioned Pattern Mogan this year, who was exceptional both in the Sigerson Cup and again in the National League for Donegal. And the last couple of games is not a true, you know, to how good he's been for Donegal this last 12 months. So, you know, they probably need to take a bit of time away from the game, relax themselves, you know, rejuvenate the body, and come back again flying. You know, you mentioned Declan Bonner to Mark. You know, I think Mark's spot on. I think Declan will take the right decision, not only for Donegal, but for Declan Bonner and his family, under a lot of criticism this week from a lot of people, and
like me.
Well, I suppose, I mean, supporters can be the best in the world, but also, you know, they can.
It's a line, though, isn't there? Because criticism's fine if it's justified criticism, but then the days probably of social media, it probably goes overboard then. Yeah, so it's somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, and it's directed at family, and when it goes to that, there, that's not good enough, and it can't be tolerated. So I have no doubt, Mark reiterated that Bonner's a huge Donegal man. I've been playing with him in Donegal teams since we were 15, 16. So it's a long, long time. He's given all that time to Donegal. And, you know,
I think if you were to hand him heart, what do you think he'll do? Because he has a year left.
Well, I do think he'll take a bit of time and he'll reflect. I think he'll talk to everybody around him, his family. I think he'll talk to the players. I think he'll talk to his backroom team. And then I think he'll make his decision. And I think we supporters, press, pundits, I think we owe him that we give him that time and that opportunity to make that decision. And if he says it's time to walk away, then it'll be up to Donegal and the county board to get somebody new in that'll rejuvenate this group of players and maybe take in a new set of players.
Just on that one, you know, Manus, and we can be critical of players, we can be critical of management, but you mentioned there about the, you know, maybe the criticism the players and the management have got from supporters the last few years, and there wasn't many of them here today. You know, we have to say that, as you know, I'm looking down, and there's, you know, Armagh outfought us maybe
I'm going to argue with you though. Supporters will say, well, you don't want to pay money into watching what they saw 2 weeks ago. You know, is that?
Now listen, they came 2 weeks ago because it was an Ulster final, it was a party event, and they wanted to come, and they, you know, you asked every club, and they were selling tickets like mad, and everybody couldn't get tickets. That's fine. And then when it comes to when the boys really need them. You know, really need them, and I'm not saying this because I've seen it, you know, days that, you know, I just like that stage of the day of the game, Manus, that's what made me think of it. We were 7-1 up. You know, if we got a roar and a good, you know, Donegal, you're on about having it in the legs. We got a good buzz, a great atmosphere about, you know, good roar from a Donegal. We could have pushed on. Instead, Armagh came back in the game, but and they were the ones, their support lifted them. It was like a home match. It was like a home match, and we were going up. And that's the one, you know, Donegal can give it, you know, people can give out, and there is, I know for a fact, there's hand in hand, the best supporters, some of the best supporters within Donegal. But there is these other people that'll just come to the bigger events, you know, the Croke Park games and the Ulster finals and stuff like that. And they're the people usually are the first to criticise. Come to all the matches before you actually open your mouth about players, about management, or anything. You know, leave it to people who maybe understand a bit more. But that's the people I would just, I know I'm not calling them out or anything like that, but you know, when Donegal people really needed it, I'd say we're lucky to have maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people at this game today, Paddy. And that's a shame. As a Donegal who's such a good follow country, and I know they're giving out, you know, it is getting more expensive and everything like that, but you know, they if it was a quarter final, they'd be at it. If it was a semi final, they'd be at it. It's just, you know, when the team and the management really need them, they weren't here for them.
Are the players there, if change does come, do you think, to be winning Ulsters and getting to the last four? Or is everybody too heavily weighed on the management? Or are we a little, I won't say deluded, but us, me, anybody, are we deluded in thinking, are the players there? Like, is that what I'm at? I would say yes, but I look, my own qualified. I haven't played at your level, lads. And
yeah, I think it wouldn't be fair to say that there's a lot of Donegal players not playing at the level that they can play at. You know, we look at the forward line, and I think, you know, we probably have one of the best, maybe 6 foot, you know, the bunch of forwards that we have, the 6 forwards, and they're not just playing at that level. Maybe they were 2-3 years ago. They're not buzzing around. You know, I'm talking about, you know, we have, you know, Paddy McBurdy's, Michael Morphy's, Michael Langan's, Ryan McHugh's, the big players, Jamie Brennan's and stuff like that. And they're the players probably that haven't really, you know, hit the heights that I'm not saying the heights, sorry, the standards that they nearly set for themselves. And so have we the players? I studied it after the Ulster final, especially, Paddy, and I think I mentioned it through commentary. The bit that I think we are lacking in Donegal is it was showing up a lot against Derry when our defenders as such was let have the ball coming up the field, and they weren't threatening enough. They weren't threatening, you know, the Derry goal. They were basically let have the ball. Rory Gallagher just assumed that they weren't going to score, which he was right enough, and they let have the ball. Other teams, we seen Mayo last night, Oisín Mullen came up and got a goal. Lee Keegan get up and got a point. Tom O'Sullivan comes up for Kerry all the time. The Dublin two cornerbacks scored 5 points between them against Kildare in the Leinster final. And, you know, even though that all our defenders are top class defenders, they're not that much of a threat when they come inside the area. And what happens is teams can afford to mark the bigger players, double mark them, and, you know, and that's where we just can't get them in and you know, involved in the play as much. And that's where maybe I just think that we are lacking, and we're just not as good as the real top tier.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against that. I would also point out that over the years, tactically, we haven't changed much. Our game plan is similar. I mean, we have progressed maybe from the 15 men behind the ball, but at the same time, we haven't progressed in the same way as maybe Mayo, Dublin, Kerry have progressed. Tyrone last year, they played with a very all-out attacking game rather than a very defensive-minded game. I do think a lot of the players that Mark has mentioned, the likes of Michael Murphy, Paddy McBurdy, they have a huge service from Donegal, and they've gone to the well so many times, and maybe they need to take a break and maybe look about coming back for next year's championship. I think we have to learn from the the lessons of, especially of the last two games, where, you know, two kickouts, two short kickouts, and I'm not blaming Sean Patton. I think he's probably the top, if not, you know, and one of the top goalkeepers in the country. But we've paid the price on two occasions for that short pass. And I think, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing for me as personally, because I know a lot of the boys. I know Declan so well. I know, for them, it'll be a whole tie worse. And I have to reiterate what Mark said about young Daniel, and from all in Killybegs, and from myself personally, I hope he gets back to where he was fairly soon. I know Paul and Una well, and you know, nobody wants to see that. So today,
that's the bigger. They're the real serious things, aren't they? Yeah.
I think so. On days like this, I mean, we can get bogged down on things that happen on a football field, but it is only sport. They all get to go home tomorrow. They'll go back to work or go back to school or whatever it is they do, and we'll all get on with it. Young Daniel, like many other kids, like many other people suffering in the last number of years, they have to fight every day, and our support and our thoughts are with them.
Former Tyrone player and almost regular now in the Donegal GAA podcast, Puru, you are our dear, always situated beside us in the commentary box. Easy win for Armagh. Most of our listeners are Donegal people. Tame enough in the end.
Yeah, fizzled out really badly in the end for Donegal. I said on the radio for me and Porrig, Donegal need a spark in the second half. They needed something. Just never came. And look, being at a couple of Donegal games this year, knowing going in, you know how they're going to play. And that's probably their biggest downfall. You know the Paddy McGrady is going to start on the wing, come cutting in. If Michael Murphy doesn't play a full forward, he's coming out till, you know, in around middle of the field, getting on the ball, moving it. But Paddy Mogan's coming late. Teams now know how Donegal are playing, so that's the easy part to set up for them, you know. And I said it on the radio, I believe there's more in that Donegal team, but at this moment in time, I don't think the right man's in charge to take them forward.
Yeah, and you know from Tyrone needed change a couple of years ago as well.
Yeah, and look,
it's just about injecting something, isn't it?
You look at that Tyrone team last year that won the All-Ireland. A lot of work probably was done by Mickey Hart, but it needed that just wee injection, wee bit of freshness. Fergal and Brian brought that. This Donegal team probably have the best players. You would know better than I do, but the best players are there. It's just need more of them. Caelan McGonigal, Kieran Thompson, Michael Langell. There's more in them. I know that. I know by looking at them. And, you know, now maybe
can it go flat after a couple of years?
It can. It definitely can. Look, and
Even Mickey Hart, who won three All-Irelands after a few years, okay, what, 03, 05, 08, but around 11, 12, there were questions starting to be asked. Well, the war, like when McGuinness came in.
It's been 2014 from this Donegal team have reached an All-Ireland semi-final. 10 out of 12 Ulster finals. Winning, I think, 5 of them. So that's, you know, is that happy we're Donegal? I don't think so. I think we're looking at the bigger picture here. I think Donegal themselves see themselves as a better team than just getting to Ulster finals. They need to get to All Ireland semi-finals, finals, and
but lost bad Ulster finals as well. Cavan, unbackable favourites. Derry, slight favourites. And I'm not taking away anything, but haven't won a huge amount of 50-50 big games. Martin McHugh said that himself. Not many, and
yeah, probably not enough on their side coming out in the right side of things. So, but you know, now might be a bad time because we're in June. Let the fellas go back, regroup, and this is what I've said, the exact same thing for Tyrone. Go back and reflect and do a bit of hoking about, looking for a manager, see who the right man is to take this team forward. I know there's more in them, and look, Cavan, two moments of madness probably put a 6-point win on it. Wasn't the case, you know. Donegal probably a slightly better team, but they weren't 6 points better against Derry.
It was in the melting pot of 15 minutes to go.
They didn't go long enough for the kickouts. They didn't back themselves enough. Sean Patton didn't go long enough for his kickouts. They didn't put Michael Murphy inside. He caused havoc in there. Get him the ball. He was causing havoc in the first half. Donegal Armagh swarmed him in the second half. The damage was done.
Armagh were good, as you said. Very impressive from Armagh. Isn't it mad in a couple of weeks? It was one of the themes of the show and the commentary and the podcast so far. Isn't it mad what momentum is? Like, the four provincial losers have lost this week. You lads down the years
have recovered, but a lot of them have been from losing early on in the championship. Losing in the provincial finals, it's nearly impossible to get back on the road. And Manus and Mark both said in commentary, you can talk the talk and come out with these grit speeches for 2 weeks, but you cannot beat actual real momentum.
Yeah, momentum is hard to beat. Whenever you, like, on the radio, they were asking who has got the momentum at the moment, or who from the four qualifiers looks the best. Armagh look the best because they beat the All-Ireland champions in their own backyard. They've dispatched Donegal with ease today. They look to be the team that you wouldn't want to draw out in tomorrow morning's draw, but it's hard when you get that Ulster final to overturn, and you have a short period of time. When you're beating the first round of qualifiers, you may have 3 or 4 weeks. Let the boys go back to their club for 1 week, get themselves sorted, and then we go again. That's what we've done notoriously with Throne, and you have 3 or 4 weeks to get going again. So it's difficult for Armagh or Donegal here today. It's just looking, I was looking at them coming off the pitch, a lot of dejected figures, it's hard for yourselves and Michael Murphy to see if he comes back again. It's difficult for him, but I would imagine the man he is, you'll see him in the green and gold again.
Murphy will be back, and I think he's still a couple of years at the edge of the square, and I know people will say, well, anybody, you can talk about anybody, but Michael Murphy will be back. He's 33 in August. He looks after himself. Some people criticise him. I still think there's loads to come from him. He's Tony God's greatest ever player, and he's a legend of the county, and I've no doubt he's a few years left. Can I ask you quickly, before we go, I know you need to go, who's going to win the All-Ireland now?
Big question. We know that Dublin and Kerry are on the same side of the draw the way it's through this, so if they win the next day, they get to the All-Ireland semi-final.
Definitely going to that game.
Oh, I'll be there myself. I'll look for it. We predicted that it'll play out that way. Football's not always, it doesn't always work out like that, but could be a Dublin. I fancy Kerry, but I listened to Tomás O'Shea during the week, and he talked me out of Kerry winning just for the sake of saying that
they're good at that. Yeah.
He doesn't feel as if they have that bit between the teeth. He says they're a bit over-reliant on David Clifford. And when I stand back and look at it, he could be right. Last year, he probably kept their head above water against Tyrone in the All-Ireland semi-final. He was absolutely unbelievable. So if you take him out of it, if you can manage to put out that fire of David Clifford, do they get enough scores to win an All-Ireland? I'm not so sure. Dublin have Conn, Costlow, Dean Rock. They have the proven winners to do it. So at the minute, I'm favouring Dublin, but it's definitely not going to be Tyrone.
You've literally taken my joke away. I was going to say it won't be Donegal or Tyrone. The good news for you, despite Tyrone being out, is I won't be annoying you for a podcast now for about seven, eight months. So, Kyle, you've been a regular contributor here in the post-match, mostly post-mortems for Donegal supporters, so thanks a million.
No problem. And look, it's been a pleasure. We've dissected the game a few times, and hopefully see you before then, sir.
Good man, Kyle. Mind yourself and safe home. Kyle Coney there, of course, former Tyrone and proud Ardbow club. Okay, the final part of our Donegal GAA podcast, yet again, just like Kyle Coney, is becoming a regular at this stage. Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life. Michael, what did you make of that one?
I thought it was a really exciting game, especially in the first half. I fancied Armagh to win it, but not by that margin. The way they started off with that Rian O'Neill's ball for the goal, like a dream start, 10 seconds, and Donegal responded really well, came back, won a couple of kickouts from Ethan Rafferty, and got themselves back into the game. And I suppose with Murphy and McBeardy up front, they looked sharp. Whereas the Ulster final, Murphy was out the field and Rogers was dictating the game. This was different, and Donegal were in a decent place. And even into half time, they had turned the game completely, and then in a couple of mad moments, it all left them. Sean Patton, in my opinion, the best goalkeeper in the Ulster Championship this season. I think he lost 4 kickouts in a row, and goalkeepers often left hung out to dry a couple of times. Long ones weren't won. The short ones ended up in a black card and a penalty that changed the game.
Second half was just a procession then, wasn't it?
It was. The Ulster final was very much chess. Like a goal in the Ulster final was like gold dust. Whereas that was a wee bit more open today, and there would always be chances to come back. But I suppose you lose Patton, then you have to make a substitution. I thought it was bizarre Paddy McBeardy going off at that point, because you're going to have to use a sub to bring him back on again. And
You know, yeah, that was strange.
I felt it was because, you know, Paddy's the top scorer in Ulster this year, to the best of my knowledge, and he hadn't really got going in the championship, but he had, you know, as I said to somebody, somebody's lit a fire under him here today because he was buzzing, he was wanting the ball, he was taking people on, and then, you know, Armagh finished the half really strongly. Like, I think it won six in a row. Like, 1-6 without reply. Like, who recovers from that, to be honest? Half-time maybe came at the right time for Donegal, but then Armagh stepped it up again. And the longer the second half went on, there was only one winner.
Yeah, and as well put, what's your outside view on Donegal? Like, what? I went through it there. Won Ulster in 18 and 19. Not dismissing it, there were easier Ulster championships, if there's such a thing. You know, fell short to Tyrone in 18... 2019, you know, came up short as well against Mayo. 2020, lost the Ulster final to Cavan. Last year, Tyrone, they go and win the All-Ireland. Lose to you guys, Derry, 2 weeks ago. Lose to Armagh today. You are always bigged up by the media, but just keep falling short. And this Donegal team haven't, well, this team, but successful Donegal teams haven't reached an All-Ireland semi-final now since 2014. And they're always tipped, that's my point.
Always tipped. Like, Brendan Devaney asked me in his podcast at the start of the year, would Donegal win Ulster? And I felt they wouldn't. I sort of joked saying Derry would. But, you know, I firmly believe they'd beat Tyrone. But the longer it went on, you thought, Donegal's here. Like, they're a hard team to beat, as the Ulster final proved. But maybe it's a case of they're always tipped for All-Irelands. You know, and the fact, like you're saying, having been in All-Ireland semi-final since 2014... there's nearly like an expectation that you're going to win All-Irelands. And I don't know, maybe that builds the players up. I don't know, only the players will know that. But when I was looking at the draw for the last eight, like you asked me here the last day, who do you think you could get? But when I looked at it, I thought Armagh have a better forward lane than Mayo. Donegal have a better forward lane than Mayo if they all clicked. So that's the sort of area that I see Donegal in.
Do you think Donegal need change?
Probably change is the, you know, if you're talking about change of management, it's probably something that only the people in the dressing room could really know. From the outside, you know, you know it's always easy to say, well, change would make a big difference, but it's the players inside the change rooms. They'll know, and it'll be how they react as to where they need change, because they're the people that have to, they're the people that have to rise to it. And if, I suppose it's like any club team or any county team anywhere in this game. If the players, when they do their soul searching, realise, well, we need change, then probably there will be. But, you know, for someone on the outside, it's very hard to make that out.
You know, from a Derry, you know, you're a brilliant journalist, but you're also a Derry fan, you know, away from the media and that. You're a Derry person, but it can change very quickly, though, can't it? You know, Donegal are very deflated today. Donegal are very deflated, you know, got absolutely annihilated to Galway in 17, mm-hmm. come back and win back-to-back Ulsters in 18 and 19, as I've already alluded to. Derry 3 years ago, I mean, there was a stat, remember, at the start of the year, but too many games Derry have won in the Ulster Championship. Mm-hmm. It can change, can't it?
It can change very, very easily. Like, you know, Derry's change came... it's a change that I always felt was going to come because the players were there. It just needed them all to be available at the same time. And obviously Rory's the perfect storm came in and pulled everybody together. And that's how quickly something can change. Like, whenever I was putting together my wee matchups for the Donegal-Derry game, like, it's difficult to see how you can sort of curb everybody in the Donegal team. You know, and then I suppose the move that probably backfired on Donegal was just allowing Rodgers to dictate the game. You know, and that probably backfired on them. But then today, you know, when Donegal were chasing the game, Murphy was at full forward, and they did put the ball in, and they couldn't win it. Now, you have to give credit for Armagh. Like, Rian O'Neill was exceptional, but he was at the back of all that. But, you know, if Sean Patton doesn't get a black card, and they, you know, you lose two long kickouts, and then the two short ones that you lose creates panic, and all of a sudden... the game completely changes. But, you know, I did feel Armagh would win it. I just liked the look of them. And I maybe think they're too reliant on Michael. Like, I was on commentary at a McKenna Cup game, and I was surprised that Michael Murphy was playing in the McKenna Cup. And Charlie Collins, he was sort of saying, well, you know, Michael probably wants to play to get as much game time as you can to be ready because of the shortened season. And, you know, you're sort of like, well, he scored 6 points out of their tally today, maybe more, seven points, you know, and you know, people like that don't grow on trees, and you know, you're sort of crying out for somebody else to grab it by the scruff of the neck. Jimmy Brennan kicked 4 points here against Cavan and was exceptional, you know, and Paddy was starting to get into the groove here today, and then I suppose the substitution, and it sort of changed the way the game was going to go. But you know, I suppose the sad thing for Donegal is in the second half they didn't look like ever coming back.
Yeah,
you know, and at 6 yeah. points and then went to 8, and it's very, very difficult to change that around. And I think that, you know, there is a huge expectation. Like, there's a lot of media in Donegal, there's a lot of fanatical supporters in Donegal. Like, after the Cavan game, they were swamped with lads for autographs. So, like, every county, you know, they're hungry for success. And I think maybe there seems to be pressure, you know. And I don't know where that pressure comes from, but there seems to be huge, huge pressure to deliver, as there is in all the top counties. Derry's maybe a wee bit different now because they're coming from a low base and it's building it brick by brick and it eventually lifts. But from a Donegal point of view, I suppose they'll be looking at Armagh now in the last 8, and Donegal aren't.
I'm actually going to finish in your own county, so we're down to the last 8. This podcast will drop at 8 or 9. Tomorrow morning we have the draw, morning Ireland, exciting times for Derry. It's going to be fascinating, and looking at it, you know, from the helicopter looking down, it's conspicuous. Dublin Kerry are on one side, whatever happens are on one side. They could get caught out in the quarters, doubtful, ostensibly speaking, though they won't. Let's say they play in the semis. It is a huge opportunity. Whoever Derry draws, whoever Galway draws, it is a perceived weaker side. It's some opportunity for some county to make an inroad to an All-Ireland final.
It is. Like, you asked me that question after the Ulster final, and I honestly hadn't thought about it at all. But when you go home and you look at the draw, like, I was at the Derry-Galway game. The margin probably wasn't a reflection on where Derry were. As Rory said, it was a reflection of where they were on that day, but not collectively over the year. So if Derry were lucky enough to get to an All-Ireland semi-final, they could beat Galway. But getting there is the question. Who would I want in the draw tomorrow morning? Anybody. Because for me, winning championship matches is what Derry needed to do this year. They've won Ulster. Like, that's amazing. And now, you know, whoever it is, just bring it on. And, you know, let's see where it goes, because it's really exciting times.
And momentum's a big thing, man. As Mark said today, you can talk the talk in the dressing room for weeks, but unless you're winning games, they were referring to Donegal, saying it's very hard to break a defeat. Derry, like, Rory Gallagher was there. I mean, we know 2012 when Donegal won Ulster. Mm-hmm. He knows that route, if you like. And Donegal came through a hard Ulster and All-Ireland to get to an All-Ireland final that year, so he knows that.
Yeah, they do. And you're talking about momentum. Like, it was every 2 weeks there was a game, and now they're 4 weeks.
Is that a problem?
It maybe is. Like, I'm not sure if it happened, but surely today Derry might have went away and played Dublin or Kerry somewhere in a game, because you're not going to be playing Galway, so you probably need a game of some description to keep yourself ticking over. But I do think they needed the break, because they had a few injuries, and you know, it's hard to keep that momentum up. And probably more importantly, because they won, Ulster needed to be celebrated. You know, whereas if you've won Ulster 4 or 5 times in a row, like the Dubs have done in Leinster, celebrating a Leinster, you know, would even celebrate it. Whereas in Derry, the cup went to every corner, so they probably needed all that time. But tomorrow morning's draw, sure, it could be Derry and Armagh. I hope it's not, because I would hate to see an Ulster team knocked out, because you always want to jump on the Ulster bandwagon, and if it's not Derry, you'll surely jump on Armagh's. But tomorrow will tell the story. But, you know, anybody, that's who you would want at this stage, because, you know, you went from trying to win games to then winning Ulster, and now whatever happens, happens.
Everything is a bonus. Michael McMullen, who, we have a bad record having Michael in the podcast. That's 2 defeats for Donegal, but we thank him very much for his time. Of course, Michael McMullen, brilliant journalist with Gaelic Life. That's it, folks, for not just this weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. It's the end of the Inter-County podcast. We will be back in around 6 or 7 weeks, where we will be looking at the club championships, and I suppose it gives everybody time in between to reflect, and of course we'll have a long, long post-mortem. Big shout out once again to Michael McMullen before before that, Kyle Coney, the match commentary team of Manus Boyle and Mark McHugh, who stayed on for some recording of the Donegal GAA podcast. Big shout out to Austin O'Callaghan, as always on production, who fires out the shows in rapid time. And most of all, you, our listeners, who have been listening in the really high numbers this year. Bye for now, stay safe, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.